What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Heroes for Sale podcast. I am your host, Adam. This is episode 13. First off, I want to thank you for listening to this episode. And if you are looking for more episodes, there are the last 12 are going to be on iTunes and Spotify. All of them are available on both platforms. If you are a listener and you want to support me in any other way, so I put a post up on Instagram about the link in my Instagram bio right now. So if you click on that link before you head over to eBay to make a purchase, there is something called an affiliate. So I am an eBay affiliate, basically. And if you are making any type of purchase on eBay and you want to support the podcast and the content on Instagram, and if you're following me on LinkedIn, like I don't post as much stuff on LinkedIn for card content, but I do try and mix that stuff in there. But if you want to support me in any way financially, it'll open up the eBay app within Instagram, and then you just click the view button in the top right, and then it'll bring you to the eBay app itself. So I think I explained that a little bit. I'm going to probably not explain it as much in the next couple episodes, but you'll probably hear me mention it because it's just, like I said, it's another way for you to support the podcast and support some of the content. So let's get into the episode. So before we get into today's topics, I just want to give a big shout out to everybody who entered the Gary V, Derek Jeter Entrepreneurs in Baseball card giveaway. It was an autographed card that I was giving away on my Instagram. And the winner was Cards and Coins 14. So I reached out to them on Instagram and also posted it on my story. So if you're listening to this episode, you probably have seen that post, or if you check it out, it's probably up there today, which is today is the 14th, the 12th. So if you're listening to this in the future, just that's who won the giveaway. I also just want to like thank everybody for entering that giveaway. You know, that was really cool of everybody to enter in that way. So yeah, just wanted to kind of get that out of the way too, just announce that there was a winner and announce who the winner was, give them a shout out on the podcast. But again, I put up a question on my story about some topics that people wanted me to talk about, and DK underscore cards said that they wanted me to talk about the new Topps update that is coming out this upcoming week. So if you're looking at the checklist right away, you're going to see that some of the big names like Nick Senzel, Kesson Hira, Michael Chavis, Carter Kieboom, they are all getting their first Topps rookie cards, so they weren't included in Topps Series 2. And then if you look at I think the big name on that checklist is the first name on the list, and that's going to be Vlad Guerrero Jr. And he was in Series 2, but it was short printed, so like it was a little bit different with his short print in Series 2 than it was with Acuna's in Series 2 of last year. From what I was hearing, the Acuna was hitting at about 1-2 per case, and then I think this year, from what I was seeing, I don't think these are official numbers, but from some of the people that I was seeing opening up cases and boxes, they were getting about 3-4-5 Vlad Guerrero Juniors per case. I opened up two boxes of Series 2 hobby boxes, and out of one of them, I pulled the Vlad Guerrero. So usually there's about, I think it's either 8 or 12 boxes per case. If it's 8, then that would make sense. You're basically pulling one half of the time, which for as a small sample size, I only opened two boxes and I pulled one, which that was another giveaway that I did like a while back. And that one had a couple of the other rookies in there. But yeah, so this upcoming week, we have Topps update. So basically, if you are new to card collecting, I think I'll just go over this really quickly. So what you're going to find throughout the year is that there's three releases of the main flagship product, which is just the regular flagship. So you have Series 1, which comes out in January or February. Then you have Series 2, which comes out in June. And then this one is in October. So kind of like in the middle of the playoffs, that's when you're going to see these, the second or the third round of these, of the product being released, basically. And last year what happened was Acuna wasn't in the first two releases. He had a short print in Series 2, but he wasn't part of the full checklist. And then with this year, it was kind of interesting because I think what I saw was that Vlad Guerrero Jr. was supposed to... He was supposed to be part of the checklist. He was going to be short printed, but what ended up happening is that his cards didn't have a number on them. So if you're picking up any Vlad Guerrero Juniors and you're buying them graded, like that's why you're going to see on the case it says no, I think it says no number variation, or it just says no number card or something like that. But it's because the card was part of Series 2, but it didn't have a number, which is interesting, because I don't remember. I think he was, when the checklist came out, it was part of the checklist. Something Topps has done with that checklist that was interesting too was those Gary V cards weren't part of the full checklist. It was kind of like a surprise, like the first couple days before Gary V went on a live stream and was like, he made the announcement that basically he had cards that were coming out in a set from Topps. So I'll be interested to see if he has anything coming up for this, for Topps update. I don't know. You may see another round of the top entrepreneurs in baseball, but they may switch it up, and he isn't part of the release this upcoming week. Something I do also want to touch on with Topps in general is, I've noticed this, is that they're doing a pretty good job on social media. Like, they just got verified on Instagram. They're putting out some great content. And if you're not following Topps, I mean, I think if you're a collector, you probably would be following them, but I just wanted to kind of mention that I think they're doing a really great job on their Instagram and on Twitter of posting a lot of cool content, where I don't think they were doing, it's not that they were doing a bad job, it's just that they were kind of, it was a little bit average, if I'm going to be honest. But like now I think, like, you'll see, I think they had like a post the other day that was like Topps Now cards, but it was on like a template that had like a bracket almost, and I thought that was really cool. And they kind of have switched up a lot of their looks. Like, I think before it was, they had not the regular Topps logo as their profile picture. Now it's just the Topps logo, and it looks super clean. And then also their header on Twitter, they switched that. I think they were kind of delaying, they had delayed that a little bit. They hadn't switched it from the beginning of the year, but because it said Series 1, 2019 Series 1, had like a couple images of the cards. But now it's all the stuff, I think it looks really cool, and I just wanted to kind of give them a shout out and say, like, that's, I think they're doing a really great job with that. If you have been buying on eBay, you probably have noticed that there is now a tax. So I think it's between 5 to 10% sales tax on items. And I don't know exactly if that's going to be a good thing or a bad thing. I think it'll end up just potentially playing a factor into what people are paying for cards. Like, I think as more collectors come in and more people who are kind of in it for maybe trying to make some sort of investment, or if they are trying to flip cards and they are maybe coming from a world where they have flipped stuff in the past and they have a kind of a system that's put in place where they have a profit and margins of all that information, basically. I think, well, like I said, I don't know exactly if it's, I don't think it's good or bad. Like, I actually think it's, I think it's just something that we're going to have to deal with now going forward. I mean, for eBay, I'm sure something happened legally where maybe the government stepped in and said, like, you have to pay X amount to us, or you have to now, or they have to pay a tax or something. And it's like, well, they're not going to take that loss for themselves. And since they're a company that's just trying to, since they're a company that's trying to make money, they're not going to not charge people that tax if it's something where they have to pay a tax or something where they have to pay more now. I don't think that's something that it would be in their best interest, really. But I think that kind of gets into some other stuff. So one thing that I noticed this past probably like two-ish weeks, I was looking on StockX I was doing some research for like t-shirt stuff, and a random like NHL Upper Deck card popped up, and I was like, wait a second. And I like clicked on it, and then after I clicked on it, I checked Upper Deck on their website, and I saw that they added a collectibles tab that also has like figurines and stuff, but they added like a huge set of inventory. So let me just pull up my Instagram post. So Tops, I typed in all the major card companies basically. And what I found was that Tops, there are, they have an inventory. So it wasn't total inventory. It was total amount of singular individual cards that they had. So I don't think it's necessarily that they have the cards available on the website. I think that they were just not placeholders, but they were not even the images, but they were like basically like saying like this is card, it could be available if you want to buy or sell it on the site itself. So Topps had 6,906 total searches, and these numbers could have changed since the last time, since when I put out the post like last week. So then Upper Deck had 54 and Panini had 73. So I think with Panini, it's a little, you're not gonna see, like Topps just has more older cards. So like Upper Deck and Panini don't have as many older cards, I think, that are worth putting on the site yet. So like you're gonna see probably like some 2012. Well, basically what I was seeing was that it was a lot of the old Panini stuff was basically just the Prism stuff from 2012, and then up through, like, they had Luka from this year. They had a few Lukas. And I think the Luka that I was looking at was about $100. So from what I saw, some of the cards, the prices were a little bit higher than what you're going to find on eBay, or if you're looking on, I mean, basically eBay. Like, I know there's a company called, I think it's My Slabs, and I know they sell graded cards, and they're kind of like StockX in a way, but they only sell cards. And then I think there's another company, I think it's Trove Collectibles, I'm pretty sure. They also do some selling and buying on there, and I think they have it's not like eBay. Like, I think you have to be a member to sell on there, and these are just names of companies, and I need to probably look into them a little bit. I know what they are, I just don't know the logistics and the details of kind of how they run their business. I was just comparing them to StockX and kind of seeing how more players are coming into the card world to kind of grab some of the equity back from eBay. And I actually did a project, I'm in graduate school right now and I'm studying marketing, and I actually had to take an existing company and basically make up a product for the new company and come up with a marketing plan and come up with all these statistics of how I thought I was going to market the actual product. So for me, the product that I came up with was, it was basically this, like this concept, but like for Topps. So like Topps itself would have its own marketplace where you could buy and sell the cards, and like they would then kind of adapt sort of a first off the line concept as well. So you can buy and sell first, it wouldn't be called first off the line obviously if it was Topps, but like the concept is basically along those lines. And you would buy and sell stuff through Topps, and I forget exactly the number, but like their eBay basically owns like 90% of the market share of buying and selling. I'm going to explain the kind of a little bit more about the project. So like I basically had two target markets, and I think if you listen to Gary Vee at all, like if you heard Gary Vee talk about cards, you've heard of these markets and why they probably would be pretty good. So like the first one was the 40 to 50 year old male or female, or just someone who used to be into cards as they were a kid, who probably has kids now and has the money to maybe spend on the cards they wanted when they were a kid. And also they were trying to get their kids kind of into the market as well. And then the other one was basically the 20 to 30 year old who is just out of college or is still in college and is trying to figure out a way to make a little bit more money by like buying and selling cards. And like those were, for me, those were basically my two markets. And I used the Facebook tool, which was pretty interesting because I could put in just like a bunch of different combinations of like interests and ages and like locations if I wanted to, but I didn't focus on locations because I was looking for a larger target market. But the concept of the project basically was just figure out how to create a product, which was the marketplace. And now that I'm seeing how StockX is doing it, I'm kind of thinking that we're going to see more of these types of companies coming into the market and trying to sell cards and sell graded cards. And I don't know if they're going to get into autographs right away, but that'll be something that maybe in the future you'll see, like some National Treasures or some, like, I don't know if they're going to, for now at least, what they're doing is basically just selling PSA graded 10 cards, which something I had mentioned on a previous episode that I think they do need to change is they do need to change the way that they are displaying the cards on their website, because I think someone had a good point that they said not all cards are going to be graded the same. And I think you find that more with lower graded cards, which I don't think they have gotten into yet. So they aren't selling PSA 9s or PSA 8s, but even PSA 10s, like, I've seen PSA 10s that just aren't the same. Like, they're just, the centering is off a little bit, or, and that, I think, you know, I think that's basically the main thing, is just, like, the centering is, like, I think a lot of, some people, some collectors are very interested in cards that are just more centered than others, and if they're in good condition and they're getting a 10, like, they're getting a 10, so there's nothing you can really do about that, but I think they just need to switch that way that they're displaying the cards on their website. The last segment of today's episode, I'm just going to go over one of the posts that I had last week that I don't know exactly, I forget how exactly I was kind of looking into this concept, but like I knew, so the, basically what it is, it's the Score app. You're tracking, you can track players and teams within the app, and I think it's one of the better apps that I've found that you can track all of the players that you have an investment of. So I've used the Score app in the past, and a couple weeks ago I put out another post about using the fantasy football, ESPN fantasy football watch list as a way to track all of your NFL players. And you can do it with baseball and basketball, but you couldn't do it with soccer. So I was kind of disappointed that the way that they do fantasy soccer on ESPN is basically like a daily fantasy. They don't do year long. So when I was, and that was basically one of the main reasons why I was very interested in this new tool that I found. And the fact they didn't have soccer kind of threw me off a little bit, just because, you know, I found myself not being as interested in football as like football cards as much, just because seeing that a lot of the money that's poured into football is basically only going towards quarterbacks is not super intriguing to me. Like, it's still something that I'm kind of following along the way, but it's just, I'm more interested in like basketball right now and baseball and soccer. So this app basically was only using the fantasy football app. I was only going to be able to track the football players. And like I said, on ESPN, you can do it with basketball and baseball, but they all would have been in different locations. So like I said, I don't remember, I think I was just using, because like this, like I said, the Score app is actually one of the better apps that I've seen. Another good app that I use is the Action Network. That's like a betting app, so I track all of my bets there too. So if you are on the Action Network and you want to follow me there, you can kind of see what I'm doing, because I do bet on sports a little bit. Nothing crazy, like I'm more of a volume bettor where I like to bet on a bunch of games. So like, you'll see it says one unit, but like, I mean, the thing is, so I'll just quickly explain this. A unit is basically just a way to display that you're betting on a game without saying how much money you're betting. I could do money in there, but I just do a unit. It doesn't really matter. Like, usually just a regular play will be one unit, but if I really like it, it'll go two units, or if I don't like it that much, it'll go half. But the unit is technically different for everybody, whatever. I think gambling is something that I'll have to get into and how that kind of relates to sports cards in another episode. But for now, Heroes for Sale on the Action Network app. You can follow me there. I have an account and you can track all. Basically, I do a lot of college football and I do a little bit of NFL, but I stopped doing NFL because I don't know. The Vegas is too good at the lines. They're too good at like, whatever, I forget the name of what it, putting out the lines, and they're too accurate, so it's too hard. But college football is not easy, but it's also, it's, I think there's more games and it's more fun to kind of follow all those games. So Action Network, Heroes for Sale, if you're on there. That's the best app I found for in-game tracking. Like, the scores in-game tracking isn't, like, great, but what I found is that you can, so for soccer, you can track, like, so if you have, like, I have some of the players I have in there. I have Christian Pulisic, who is a USA player, who, there. So you, soccer is on an international break right now, so there are some international games going on. So some of the players that I'm tracking are United States players. Some of them, like Neymar, is from Brazil. Mbappe is from France. So you can track those players. And if you have a player who's younger, who isn't like a starter, you can track when they get subbed into the game and see kind of where, when they get put in, like if they're not playing right away, which is realistically, it's an issue with Pulisic right now. Like, he hasn't started for Chelsea, and I'm not exactly sure why they're not playing him, but he's been like on the sidelines a bit. But so within that app, you then can track like scoring, you can track assists with soccer, at least with, and then with basketball, I know you can track like if they get like a triple double or a double double, or if they score 10 points or 5 assists, or like you can customize the notifications that you want for basketball. And I'm sure with, you know what, let me look. I'm just going to look at baseball, because I feel like with baseball, you probably can be tracking every at bat. Let me just see. So let me type in a player. We'll do Soto, and we'll see where Juan Soto is. Come on, Juan. Oops, nope. Sorry, misspelling Juan. Sorry, dead air here. We'll just go into notifications and we'll see. We'll just star him. Yeah, so with baseball, you can do runs, home runs, RBI, stolen base, batting now, every batting result, not in the lineup, final stats, breaking news, which I think the breaking news is really cool because you can see like if there's any news that the score puts out about the player. So like, for example, last week, Mbappe was injured. He's been hurt for a little bit, and he actually isn't going to be playing with France during this international break. So I got a notification that said that. So I knew that Mbappe isn't a player that's, I'm going to be kind of seeing play anytime soon. But with those two apps, I think they are good ways to track players. Like, one thing that's good about the ESPN app is that you can track the one stat that ESPN has that I think is pretty useful for, like, if you have like a, not like a prospect, but a player that isn't like a big name in the hobby. You can see players that are getting picked up on fantasy teams, and I think that is a way to track popularity of a certain player that maybe isn't as popular right now, which I found that I did try doing a little bit of flipping on Check Out My Cards one week using that system, and like I really didn't do well, and I think I don't flip as much, so like there was probably nuanced stuff that I missed that if I had been flipping for like the whole year, I'm sure I would be better at it by now. But I only did it for the one week, and I bought 5 cards and I only sold one of them, and one of them sold before the week. So like that was kind of annoying. So it didn't really work out the way I expected. But there's this tool within ESPN that's like the add minus button. So you see how many, what the percentage of people who picked up a certain player is. So like if hypothetically, if Eckler, the running back for the Chargers, was only 20% owned after week one, after he scored the 2 touchdowns, if he went up to 40% owned, he would be plus 20%. And usually what you'll find is that the top waiver wire pickup, so like I know Hollywood Brown was another player who like had like a 60% change, I think, or something like that, owned. So I think he probably went from like, if I had to guess, and I don't remember if it was exactly 60%, but that's just an example. Like if they go from 20% to 80% owned, they have a 60% difference in what they were owned and what they're now owned. So I think that's some good data to take a look at if you are prospecting and kind of have people that you are looking at and seeing where their popularity might go up a little bit for people outside the hobby, because it doesn't necessarily mean that it's people inside the hobby who are buying their cards. So, but like if the, I think the sports card, fantasy sports, sports gambling kind of ecosystem eventually will all be closer knit than it is now. Like I feel like each sector is very niche, but I think in the future you're going to see those three kind of areas close in a little bit more, and you're going to see more crossover between like fantasy and sports betting and hot and sports cards basically. And yeah, so the Score app is what I'm going to be using to track for soccer and then basketball if I have some basketball investments. But you can, what the great part about it is that you can just, it has all the players right in a row. And like for forever I was trying to figure out an app that like would just do this exact thing. So now that I found the Score app, I think I'm pretty excited to use it for soccer, and then I'm also excited to use it for basketball and then baseball if, once I kind of get into that sort of stuff. That is going to be it for today's episode. Episode 13 is in the books. Like I said, I just want to thank everyone. If you've gotten to this point, that means you've listened to a whole episode, and that's super sick. If you have the time and you want to post on your Instagram story, like I try and repost everybody who posts. It doesn't happen super often, so like if you do it, I'm almost 100% guaranteeing that I will repost your thing if you tag me in it. If you want to leave me a review on iTunes, that'd be great. I'm trying to, if we can grow in the ranks of, so I'm using the hobby, or I think it's hobbyists, I think is my category. And then, if we can grow up that ranks, that means more people are going to listen to the show. And that means we're going to be able to kind of produce more episodes, hopefully in the future. Like I'm trying to do once a week. I know I've gotten a little bit, not as consistent, but once a week, if I can get the episode out, that's really what I'm trying to do. Like I said, if you also are looking for another way to support me, if you use that link in my bio before you head into your eBay app to make a purchase, I'll get a commission basically from that purchase, which, that helps me out. And I mean, it's not like a huge percentage, like it's not like a 50% commission, but like, anything really helps. And I think that'd be really cool if you wanted to do that. Also, if you want to tell someone about the episode, I'm going to be saying this at the end of every episode from now on. If you tell one person, and if all of you tell one person, we doubled our audience in just one episode, that's awesome. So yeah, I just wanted to say thank you for everyone for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.